you guys would remain standing with me as we read our scripture for the morning. I'm reading this morning out of the book of Acts, chapter 2. I'm starting in verse 1. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Now in verse 14. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, "Listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem, make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel." And now jumping to verse 36. "So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this, Jesus whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah." Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and those far away, all who've been called by the Lord our God." Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, "Save yourselves from the crooked generation." Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, on this day as we reflect on your mighty acts all these years ago at the birth of your church, we ask that you speak to us and guide us through the words of Luke, as he records the accounts of the early church on this day of Pentecost. Guide us and use us today to continue to be your church and to continue to do this work. We pray these things in your holy and powerful name through the power of the Spirit within. Amen. You can be seated. So Pentecost is considered to be the birth of the church. Brad actually sang happy birthday to the church in the tradition service. I'm not going to lead you in that. We don't have a lot of time this morning because Pastor Philip and I split the time in half. And I'm glad that we did because I think his words were important this morning. So know that I'm going to use the time that I have briefly. But the words that I share I think are important for us to hear this morning. So this morning, as we reflect on who we are as people of the Spirit, this is what defines us, that we are Holy Spirit people. On the day that Christ ascended into heaven in chapter 1 of Acts, he said this. He goes, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." And he went on to explain that the purpose of the Spirit is so that we can be his witnesses, going and sharing to all edges of the world, to Jerusalem and Judea and to Samaria, to everywhere. And this passage affirms what was recorded in John when Jesus said, "Anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done, even greater works than Christ, because he was going to go to be with the Father." We don't think about us being able to do greater works in Christ, but that's why he gave us the power of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, so that we can go do the work that God calls us to do as his church. The Spirit has a purpose to transform, to do God's mighty works. So I'm going to very quickly tell you what it means for us to be Spirit-filled people. Are you ready? All right, you got to stay with me. Okay, there's a fellow pastor, her name is Carolyn Moore, and she wrote a very small book about what it means to live a Spirit-filled Spirit-filled life called Come Holy Spirit. And in her book, she lays out these characteristics from the writings of Paul that says, if we're to live a Spirit-filled life, this is what our life looks like. Okay, so what she's meaning by these things is if we are truly living into the power of a Holy Spirit, our life will be transformed by these characteristics. And I bring these to our attention because I believe that at times we allow life to weigh us down, that we don't fully live in to the power of the Spirit within us. And I call that to our attention today because today, the day that we reaffirm the Holy Spirit, that we should find where in our life are we not living into all of these things, and we're going to reaffirm them today so that life doesn't weigh us down. The first is when we're living into the power of the Spirit, we think more about God than ourselves. Amen. God is our priority. Over time, our worldview shifts, and we say, what does God want, not what do we want? We make decisions based on God's values, and we become less selfish and more kingdom-minded. Now, that's a hard one, isn't it? But that's the power of the Spirit within. Then she goes on to say that the experience of sin actually limits us. That what that means is that we recognize that we have to be aware of sin. See, a person that's not living by the power of the Spirit thinks that sin has no role in their life. When we live by the Spirit, we recognize that we must confess our sins. That we must seek forgiveness for our sins. That if sin's not going to control our life, we have to be aware of it. What she says is if we're living in the power of the Spirit, we have to be aware of where sin is so that it can't control us. And when we ignore it, it in turn does control us. Sounds kind of oxymoron, but it's true, right? When we pretend sin has no role, it wins. So to live into the limits of sin means we recognize that this is a issue or a temptation for me, and I must confess it, and I must repent it, and I must ask God for the power to overcome it. That's what it means to live Spirit-filled. Now she goes on to say that we must experience life on God's terms. We must have a ritual in our life that helps us live as God wants us to live. We call those spiritual disciplines, reading our Bible, prayer, living into the community like you're doing right now. We must use God's path in our life for things like our time, our money, our energy, our pleasures in life to be God's will. Every aspect of our life must be aligned to God. And the more we live into the power of the Spirit, the more that happens. She goes on to talk about that we have to do the same as Jesus did and live into the power and authority that God gave us. Some of you go, oh, I don't want to hear that authority word. Jesus had authority. You may even be okay with other people in the church having authority, but you don't want to have power and authority. But friends, when we carry the power of God with us, we have authority. That's why Jesus died, and that's why he sent his Spirit here, is so that we could walk this earth with the power of God so that we can have the authority over the world. And we have to live into it. That is why he came, so that we could do the things that Acts had and that John had and do the incredible things of transforming the world. Then she goes on to talk about that Paul often writes that we have to live into the identity that we are delivered from death to life. Too many times we stick with the identity that we are sinners who need to die. We are no longer sinners that need to die. We are resurrected daughters and sons of God. We are redeemed. We are forgiven. We are transformed. That is our identity. A Spirit-filled person identifies with the transformation, not with the person who is dead to God. That's a Spirit-filled person. We are daughters and sons of the Most High. Real quick story, I don't have much time, but real quick. My daughter loves princess movies. They're all over, aren't they? I tell my daughter every night that she talks about princesses, I say, baby, you are a princess too. Because we are princesses and princes of the most amazing king on this planet. We are, aren't we? And she can look at Rapunzel all she wants, but she's got the best kingdom on earth. And she's got pretty hair too, but I'm just saying. And the last piece is that our bodies are alive. I know sometimes we don't feel that, do we? Sometimes we feel the brokenness of our bodies. Sometimes we feel the worries of the world. Sometimes we feel the what weights us down. But the spirit-filledness of us is that we don't have to carry the weight of the world. We don't have to carry the weight of our brokenness. We don't have to carry all the pain in our bodies because God frees us from that now. We know one day we will be 100% healed. Amen? We're not there yet. Praise God. I'm glad you're all here with me. But we can still live into the fact that God is freeing us from our worries and our troubles if we put our trust in Him. This is what it means to be spirit-filled. Brothers and sisters, I think that sometimes we allow these weights of the world to come upon us that we forget that this power is within us. The Spirit is designed to give us the power to free us from the weight of the world, to free us from the worries of the world, to free us from the sin of the world, to keep us in the identity of who we are in God. It's Pentecost. What would we do if a mighty wind rushed through the room? We'd probably all go hide, right? We think a hurricane was coming. But God moves among us. So I know that sometimes we say a little, you know, planned, and we don't always like to get too free. But we are people of the Spirit. And so today, what we're going to do is we're going to embrace who we are as the Spirit. So we have designed intentionally, I cut my time so that we could have more time for prayer and more time for opening ourselves up to God and to the Spirit, because I want you to free yourself from whatever is holding you back. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a time of prayer and anointing. You can go ahead and come up. And a lot of times we're going to do anointing at the healing service, and this is a little different, because what I want us to do is enter a time of open prayer, and as you want, I'm going to have some anointing stations, and it's going, I know some of you are thinking, going, I don't know what Faith is doing. I'm going to show you. Thank you for volunteering and helping them see, because you knew that they might not know what's going on. We're going to pray for anyone who wants it. The altars are open. We're going to sing a couple songs. But I want you to open yourself to tell God anything that's holding you back from a full indwelling. This is your time to release it. And when you come to the anointing stations, we're just going to pray a simple prayer over you like this. Father, I ask that you release my sister from anything in her body or soul that's holding her back from fully receiving your indwelling today, so that she may move forward and do your work as you wish. I pray these things in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Simple, right? Yet powerful. Friends, this is your time. I don't know what you need. I don't know where God's taking us as a church, but we are going to pray that God moves us forward, and anything in our life that we need to release, we're going to release. Just like last week, it's no direction. Nobody's moving you anywhere. But you have spaces to pray and time to sing and lift your hearts and lift your souls and do as you wish. And no one's going to force you to come to the stations. But I want you to feel that this is your time to unleash anything you need to unleash. And know that God is waiting to fill you with the presence. So would you join me and stand? We're going to sing. And we're just going to open our hearts to God and ask Him to guide us as He wants.